Welcome to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. Over the next half hour, Docs in a Pod will educate you about the health and wellness of adults everywhere. Co-hosts Dr. Audrey Barria and award-winning veteran broadcaster Ron Aaron will share information to improve your health and well-being. And now, here are Ron Aaron and Dr. Audrey Barria.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Docs in a Pod, the award-winning program available over the air on the radio and via podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ron Aaron. Our co-host, Dr. Audrey Barria, is with us today. We're delighted to have her with us. And Dr. Barria, who is a wonderful, wonderful co-host, we've talked about her before. She's a medical director with WellMed Medical Management. And Dr. Barria has been with the company for several years now. She's a provider at the WellMed at 9th Avenue North Clinic in St. Petersburg, Florida. She is a graduate of Ross University School of Medicine in Portsmouth, Dominica. She earned her medical degree there, completed her residency and an OBGYN fellowship at St. Mary Hospital in Hoboken, New Jersey. Dr. Barria is board certified in family medicine, which she will readily admit to you she loves. She is also, when she's not a doctor, playing doctor, practicing medicine, she loves spending time with her kids and loves to travel as well. So we're delighted, Audrey, to have you with us.
Thank you, Ron. Delighted to be back.
We have a topic today that we do not spend enough time on, and that's the whole question of sleep and sleep disorders. I'm sure you see it in a lot of your patients.
Yes, I do, and especially the geriatric population.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
It is quite interesting, actually. And, there's all these, I don't want to say that they're myths, but they're out there saying that the older you get, oh, you don't need as much sleep. And therefore, if you're, the elderly patient population thinks that if they're getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep, that that's perfectly fine. And then they can just get up and go about their business. But sleep is really, really important.
Well, let's bring our special guest in today. Dr. Mara Abdallah is a physician at WellMed at Cullen Park in Houston. She earned her medical degree from Cairo University in Giza, Egypt. She completed her residency at Texas Tech University Health Science Center in El Paso. She is American board certified in family medicine. And when she's not at her clinic, she likes to spend time with her family and outdoor activities like biking. So obviously, exercise is an important part of her life, which is really pretty cool. And Dr. Abdallah, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Before, when I realized you were coming on to talk about sleep and sleep disorders, I did a little minimal research and discovered that it is so common. Millions and millions of people struggle with sleep. They may have insomnia. They may have something called sleep apnea. They may have a variety of problems. And what they often end up doing is seeking out over-the-counter and prescription drugs to help them with sleep, which in the long run can't be good for us.
That's absolutely right. It's one of the most common complaints that we get in the clinic, the sleep problems. And it's really affecting their life sometimes majorly and negatively. So it's really good to always talk about that, as patient.
Let's start with insomnia, which I guess the layman definition would be, I just can't go to sleep. And a whole lot of people have it, apparently. What causes insomnia? Do we know?
Well, there is a different reason for insomnia. It's really hard sometimes to find out the main reason for that. But it's always good to talk about, their sleeping habits, things that they usually do before they go to bed. And sometimes we find out why they're having the insomnia.
When you say sleeping habits, I've heard the term good sleep hygiene. What do we mean by that?
Exactly. So the sleep hygiene does include a lot of things like regular bedtime and rise time. Having a regular sleep schedule does play a major role in your good time sleep at night. Avoid napping during the day, and specifically the nap that's more than like 1 hour or late in the day. Some people do know that really taking caffeine does affect them. And I know when we talk about, you know, limit the caffeine, it's one of the major things. But they don't have to eliminate it completely. They can still take their morning caffeine, but no caffeine after lunch.
So don't have that cup of coffee before you go to bed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like after lunch.
Definitely no espresso.
That bar?
Yeah, absolutely.
And as you take a look at people who come to you, Dr. Abdallah, with concern about sleep and sleep patterns, one of the issues is using their iPhone or their Android phone in bed before they go to sleep. They're reading messages, they're reading email, they're texting people, and that can't be good.
That's a really good point because it's very, very common. When I tell my patient, you know, your room is just for sleep and no other activities, TV, phone, reading, drinking, even music, nothing, just have it for sleep. They would be surprised because vast majority of the patient would have like a TV in the bedroom.
And they go to sleep that with the TV between their toes, right?
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Barrio, what do you,
Audrey,
what do you tell your patients?
That's definitely one of the things that I tell my patients, that your room, your bedroom, or wherever you're sleeping is only for sleep. So don't try to do everything else under the sun while you're in your bed, because that just keeps your brain awake, which means you're going to be awake. And it, a lot of times I will hear the complaint of, you know, I just can't turn my brain off. And that's why I have trouble sleeping. Well, if you're doing all of these extra things in an area where you're just supposed to be sleeping, of course you're going to be awake. One of the other things that I've also found is after you've had the discussion of sleep hygiene with your patient, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's something that you're going to have to train yourself to get into that habit. And I believe the saying is it takes 45 days to build a habit. And so that's what it's going to be.
And when you think about, and we'll come right back to this, for those who may have just joined us, you're listening to Docs in a Pod, the award-winning program available over the air on the radio and via podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, we come to you every week with a discussion of a variety of mental and physical health issues that affect seniors and others. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Dr. Audrey Barrio, and we're talking about sleep and sleep problems with our special guest, Dr. Mara Abdallah. She's at WellMed at Cullen Park in Houston. Let's come back to the sleep hygiene question. Dr. Abdallah, when you talk with folks about issues they're facing, do they ask you, hey, you know, can't you prescribe something? I see ads on television for all kinds of sleep stuff. I want that.
That's actually the main reason they're bringing up the sleep problem, because usually, you know, they wanted some kind of a sleep aid. And, you know, identifying the reason and talking about sleep hygiene is really good, because that's like the basics. But yeah, absolutely. The medication is one of the major, you know, things that we, of course, we use to, it goes hand in hand with the sleep hygiene and all other things.
But some of those drugs, I'm thinking of one, Ambien, for example, can have some pretty serious side effects. I know somebody whose wife was taking Ambien, and he woke up one night, he heard noise in the kitchen, and she was in the kitchen cooking and cleaning and doing all kinds of stuff in her sleep, had no conscious memory of doing that. So for seniors, can Ambien be a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. And all of these medication that's intended to help for sleep, it's not intended for a long-term use. It's used really for a short-term use, and some of the medication are even not recommended when you have a certain medical condition. So it's not all of them are safe. Actually, they do have a lot of side effect as well.
And Dr. Barrio, what kind of medications are you comfortable with for your patients when it comes to sleep?
You know, so the Ambiens are considered a high-risk medication for the elderly, and it's because of the side effect profile of it was in the news were sleepwalking and sleep eating. And, you know, these are things that you just don't want to worry about with the elderly, especially because they're not going to know that they're doing it. So that's setting them up for falls and potential harm for sure if they do fall. So I do tell my patients that, you know, get into your habit of, I try to stay away from medications, prescription medications as much as possible, as well as there have been anecdotal studies, if you will, that have shown that a little lavender oil at the pulse points and anything that they can do as far as relaxation exercises or even some sort of meditative form to relax them, to put them to sleep.
So lavender oil, you say pulse point, would that be your wrists?
It could be your wrists and the temples. And I always caution them to make sure that they're using something that can be used on the skin. I mean, you can also spray your pillow with lavender oil spray, but you want to make sure that it's safe to use on the skin.
And Dr. Abdallah, for those who are struggling with insomnia, and I've never had this done, but they tell me that there are sleep studies that can be done, which will help identify what your issues may be if they're physiological.
That's right. A sleep study is one of the workup that we recommend if, you know, if they have like chronic sleep issues and we tried, there is no, you know, immediate reason or maybe recent stress or something like that, that we would identify, link it to the problem with the sleep. And a sleep study definitely one of the workup that we recommend.
And how effective are they?
It is very effective. So with sleep apnea, you're not getting enough oxygen at night, so you're not really getting a good night's sleep. And some patients don't know, most of the time with the sleep study or the problem with the sleep at night comes from their maybe family member when they're like snoring at night, or their breathing stop for a few seconds. You know, that indication that they might have a sleep apnea, and the sleep study would help to identify that and using machine if they do have, or we confirm that they do have, a sleep apnea.
We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. I'm Ron Aaron. You're listening to the award-winning Docs in a Pod, available on podcast and over the air on the radio as well. Wherever you get your podcasts, just type in Docs in a Pod and we should pop up. Our co-host, Dr. Audrey Barra, is with us, and we're talking with Dr. Marwa Abdallah. She's with WellMed at Cullen Park in Houston. We're talking about sleep hygiene, sleep disorders, and the variety of issues that can flow from that. You're listening to Docs in a Pod.
Turning 65, it's time for an important choice, deciding what Medicare coverage is best for you. WellMed can help. When you become a WellMed patient, you can connect our primary care with a Medicare Advantage plan. WellMed doctors and care teams spend quality time with you, listening and learning about your health. WellMed and a Medicare Advantage plan could be right for you. Choose WellMed. Learn more at 866-433-5048. That's 866-433-5048.
Well, thank you so much for sticking with us right here on the award-winning Docs in a Pod. I'm Ron Aaron. We're talking, along with our co-host, Dr. Audrey Barra, with Dr. Marwa Abdallah. She's at WellMed at Cullen Park in Houston. We're talking about sleep aids, sleep disorders, the kinds of issues that millions of people struggle with. And Dr. Abdallah mentioned just a moment ago something called sleep apnea, which I plead guilty. I happen to have. Sleep apnea goes undiagnosed, Dr. Abdallah, in a lot of folks, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Many of us don't know that we have a sleep apnea, and it just goes unnoticed.
It can be dangerous, can it not, if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't get enough oxygen? What's the impact on the individuals from a cognitive standpoint?
So if there is, as a function-wise, you're not able to concentrate, feeling tired all the day, unwell, sleepy, have problem remembering things. Some people would be very irritable, slow thinking. Sometimes they have problem, like even with their social and work life. In other side, physically, their blood pressure might go up. You know, their chronic medical condition wouldn't be like controlled, and that would cause even more issues down the road.
And you had mentioned machines, CPAP machine, the common name for people who have sleep apnea that they can use. Millions of people must have it because there are ads everywhere on TV about sleep apnea.
Yeah, well, the problem with the machine is sometimes the people, even when they prescribe to them, they don't use it or they don't like it. It's, you know, I wouldn't blame them. However, if they would use it regularly as prescribed, they would actually notice the difference later on in their overall health.
Are there, you know, some you recommend? Go ahead, Audrey.
What I was going to say is that, you know, in the past, sleep apnea used to be something that was reserved for a certain body habitus and, you know, oh, yes, you have to be somebody who snored and you had to be overweight, obese, or morbidly obese and, you know, short stature, short neck. Those things don't apply anymore. It could happen to anybody. You don't have to fit that body habitus stereotype to have sleep apnea.
Yeah, I plead guilty to being one of those and was diagnosed ultimately because I ended up in the hospital, had all kinds of issues, one of which was very high carbon dioxide, which I gather, Dr. Abdullah, is not good.
Yeah, it's not good for the brain. It's definitely can be very serious and dangerous. And we see it in other medical condition. And, you know, as we just mentioned, it is there is different type of sleep apnea or, you know, some are central and some are maybe because of the body habitus, but it's not the only cause, definitely.
And with use of a device to help you with sleep, is sleep apnea no longer a threat if you use the device?
Yeah, if you use it properly and get the oxygen measured and, you know, at night and you're taking enough oxygen, you're using the machine every day, there is other measures. It depends on what could be the reason for the sleep apnea. It definitely can improve. It will improve your overall health.
And then as you take a look at the other issues that are involved with sleeping and sleeping disorders, what are some of the other problems that people may have that may affect their sleep?
Sometimes medication, you know, as you mentioned, there has been using medication supposedly to help them sleep, but it actually doesn't. If they do have a problem with breathing issues, you know, respiratory issues, maybe a heart disease that keep them up at night, or even like urinary problem that they have to wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom more often. So there is psychological, medical issues and the medication as well that might be the reason for the sleep issues.
Well, how common, Dr. Barria, I'm thinking now, obviously using my own experience, but folks who get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, seems pretty common when you talk to people. Is there a point where you need to worry about it? One or two times, that's okay. More than that, you'd worry?
Yeah. I mean, if this is something that's becoming, you know, sometimes you just drink too much fluid right before bedtime, then yes, you're going to wind up getting up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. But if this is something that you have noticed getting worse over a small period of time, then I would be worried about that.
And talk to your PCP, I assume.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Abdullah, how many of your patients, ballpark number, come to you with sleep problems?
That very, very common. Like, vast majority of the patient that comes to the clinic over the last few years is just, you know, the sleep problem is one of them. Sometimes the visit is only for that. You know, I'm having hard time sleep, and that's like something has been going on for a long period of time. It's like for months or for weeks. So it is very, very common.
And then the issue of snoring, I know, can be very disruptive, not only to someone's individual sleep, but if they have a significant other hanging out in the same bed, it's tough for them too. Are there fixes for snoring?
Usually the snoring issue doesn't come from the patient themselves because they do not recognize that unless their significant other has told them and pointed this out. The sleep study that we mentioned, there sometimes visit to the ENT just to make sure that there's no like gland that's enlarged, if the tongue is okay, many other things that can be obstructing the airway, or it is maybe just a central thing or something that's, with the sleep apnea that when we fix it, the snoring issue does go away.
Now, ENT, ear, nose, and throat doc.
Correct.
What about diet and exercise? We began pointing out that you like to bike. I've got an older son who loves riding his bike for miles and miles. How do diet and exercise fit into helping with sleep patterns?
Well, the exercise is one of the common also questions, like when should I exercise or, and how that related to the sleep. So it is definitely daytime physical activity is absolutely encouraged. And in particular, like 4 to 6 hours before bedtime. It's usually recommended that you avoid like high intensity or strong exercises like for 2 hours before bedtime. And the diet does, of course, play a role. Like staying in shape, have a normal BMI does help in general with your overall health. And if the reason for, the reason for the sleeping problem is maybe the sleep apnea or like problem with the breathing issues, the health or staying in a good weight always help.
And then diet?
Yeah, the diet is linked for both. So when we talk about the diet, when really healthy diet, keeping stay healthy, weight is within normal range, and also like the small habits of maybe drinking alcohol before bedtime. Some people would think that might help them sleep, but actually it doesn't. Alcohol is activating when it starts to break down and metabolized in the body. It does make them more active, so it is recommended that we would avoid something like that. The other habits also that we recommend that patient or people would avoid is nicotine. The same thing, is just keep them stimulate the brain.
Smoking?
Yes.
You're saying smoking. The nicotine and smoking, right?
In the smoking,
yes. Dr. Barria, have you seen issues involved alcohol with your patients, and they simply don't want to believe that that's one of the reasons they've got a sleep problem?
Yep, absolutely. Because they think that the alcohol is helping them go to sleep, but that's not the case.
They think it's a sedative.
Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Before we run out of time here, Dr. Abdallah, as we talk about sleep and sleep patterns, talk to me about how that affects cognitive behavior for people who are struggling with sleep. If they're having difficulty, is, for example, seeing a therapist something that might help them?
That's a very good point, because we always talk about, medication as the reason or something that helps sleep, but the actual first line treatment for like the sleep problem is a cognitive behavior therapy that's specifically for the sleep disorder or the insomnia. It is basically enforce and encourage the sleep hygiene, go through the sleep hygiene and, talk about it more in depth with patient. And it does teach them to look for and change any beliefs that might affect their ability to sleep, and help them control or get rid of any negative thoughts, any worries that might be keeping them awake at night.
And someone once told me that, and you read a lot about it now, the blue light that comes off of handheld phones and off the TV is very destructive to good sleep.
That's absolutely right, because it's linked. So we naturally we have a melatonin that's secreted in the body and usually increase the secretion when it's dark, and it does decrease when it's light or exposed to the light. So the melatonin play a major role in the sleep. So what we're trying to do when we say like, you know, sleep hygiene and keeping everything dark, that just to stimulate the melatonin to be secreted in the brain and help you relax and sleep at night.
Perfect. We are flat out of time. We really appreciate you being with us, Dr. Mara Abdallah. You find her at the WellMed at Cullen Park Clinic in Houston. And thank you to our co-host, Dr. Audrey Barrio. As always, great to have you with us. I'm Ron Aaron. Thanks for joining us on the award-winning Docs in a Pod.
Executive producers for Docs in a Pod are Dan Calderon and Leah Madrano. Our producer is Natalie Ibarra. Associate producer is Charisse Pendleton. Thank you for listening to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. We welcome your emails with suggestions and comments on this program at radio@wellmed.net. And be sure and listen next week to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed.